Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Hi, I'm Hannah Brown and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you? Hello, everyone. How are we doing today? I hope it's a great day. If not, it's okay. Thanks for coming back to listen to another episode of Better Tomorrow. You know, I woke up this morning, really, to be honest, like, being like, I don't know. I want to wake up and be happy, you know, and just be like, I want to feel like Snow White when she wakes up and like there's birds singing around her, but that is just not me. And I was a little upset about that, but I was proud of myself because I was still like, oh my gosh, I hate being up right now. I don't like this, but I still went into another room, like our kind of where I'll have my podcast when I do them virtually in that room. There's like a couch and I sat down in there because like Adam was already doing his thing. And I think when I go into the main living areas, I can get really distracted and decide not to do any self work and I'll just stay in a shitty mood all day. So I went into this other room and I started to journal about exactly how I felt, which was all kind of pretty pessimistic and shitty, but that's okay. I did that. And then I was like, Lord, help me. So I read a little bit of a devotion and the devotion was kind of about when you're in seasons of like angst or feeling like you have like a lot of problems, like to try to reposition. That's not the right word, but we're just going to go with reposition. Reposition the way that we're thinking about the troubles into like, oh, this is something that is teaching me something. and think of it almost as a blessing. Y'all, that's all great and all, but man, sometimes that's just hard to do. But I was really trying to do it today, so I did. I did it. I wrote down all the crappy things, and then I really did feel like, okay, this is how I feel. I'm going to feel this, but how do I want to feel? And I wrote, I wanted to feel uplifted, inspired, and grateful. So then I went back to the Bible and started reading, and it really did help. It really did help to just get some words in that were not what was in my own brain, that just gave me a little bit of life back. Okay. So that's how I started off my day. And then from that, I was like, okay, what are more action steps I can do to build on to this? So I've had an excuse not to do the cold plunge since it's got colder because our, what is it called? Like the machine broke, basically. I mean, the chiller wasn't working, so I just hadn't had to do it. But the chiller works again, unfortunately. And I've been trying to do it sometimes, but I still hate it. But normally it's because Adam like is doing it and then I feel bad. And so I do it because he's not making me, but I feel like I should. But I did it all on my own, even though I was like really pushing it close for time for going to the gym. But I'm like, this is me taking action steps to feel better because I always feel better afterwards. And even when I got to the cold plunge, I literally had my bathing suit, was taking off my robe, about to jump in. It's literally only 3 minutes. And I went and put the robe back on and started walking back out of the garage being like, nah, this ain't it today. And then I was like, Hannah, stop being a little bitch and go get in the cold plunge. You already have the swimsuit on. You're already out here. And guess what, y'all? I did it. I got in. I don't put my fingers in right now and I don't put my toes in. So I just like do this thing where my hands are just out of the water and I just like lift my feet up. So I'm kind of getting a workout at the same time, whatever. But I've done that and I was proud of myself. It was great. I drank my AG1, took all my supplements. And I'm like crushed in today. Went and worked out and my toes, I still don't understand this, why my toes and fingers were so numb. I could barely do my workout because I didn't even put them in the water. So annoying. Like literally couldn't do lunges because I'm like, my toes feel like they're about to crunch and fall off. Got better, whatever. But I did all the things. Okay. So still trying to reprogram my brain that it's a great day. But, you know, we're here. I couldn't even be bothered to get ready for this today because that didn't bring me any joy. So we just put a baseball, what are these called? Trucker hats on. I like a trucker hat better than a baseball hat. I don't know. They're just cooler and nicer. They don't squeeze your head and you don't have a bat of hat hair. My parents were in town this weekend and I love my parents so much. We had the best time. We celebrated my dad's birthday. But it's a lot when they come, especially when they bring two big golden retrievers that shed pounds of hair every day. I mean, that's why we have a hypoallergenic dog. You don't have to deal with all that. That was a lot, but it was so fun. Celebrating my dad's birthday, went to Cane Prime. That's a great steakhouse here in Nashville. If you, or ever in town, want a good steakhouse. We had a really great meal. And then we went to see Old Dominion. My dad and my mom, big country music fans, and he just loved it, especially because we had like VIP treatment. He loves that type of energy around him. He really leans into it. He would love to be doted on all the time. So it was just a really fun time. And it was so fun to see him so excited to be there and be with me. And it was overall really fun until when your parents are at home with you, you know, they're always asking like, how to turn the TV on? How do you make the coffee? How do you do this? My mom's trying to actively help, but I'm trying to run out the door because I still had other commitments that I had to do while they were there. And, you know, just
what am I doing? I'm trying to blame them for me being late this week into certain things, but actually I'm just always late to everything. Let's get on to the actual conversation that we're going to have today. I interviewed Davis Burleson. And if for y'all that don't know who Davis is, it's because you're not in Gen Z. You're like me and kind of a little lame. And so it's okay. It's okay because I interviewed Davis and I realized just how lame I was, but he's so easy to talk to and really just, I guess, I don't know. He made me feel like it was okay. And he at least amused me and tried to help me out a little bit. But Davis is a host of the Sirius XM TikTok radio show and has landed some of like these really top-notch hosting roles for the Grammys, AMAs, Oscars, all the things. But he all got his start on his wildly successful TikTok show, What's Poppin' with Davis. If you have not watched his interviews, we talk about this in the conversation, but he just goes up to strangers and asks them these like just off the wall questions. And he always just gets these really great little interviews with these strangers in Washington Park. But that's really how he blew up and became a leading voice for Gen Z. And he's just the sweetest, best guy. And it was a really fun conversation. So I think you guys will love it. It'll help us all out to be more with the times. So just like listen to what Davis has to say and try to start using those words. That's what I'm trying to do. So slay, y'all. Davis, it's so nice to have you. I am such a fan of you and I can't wait for people who are listening to Better Tomorrow. Hi, guys. To learn more about you as well. Okay, so you're from Texas originally.
Yes.
What was that like for you?
Growing up in Texas, when people ask me what that's like, because people are always like, oof, like that must have sucked, you know? Honestly, I lived in like a you know, big bubble, and that's kind of all I knew. And growing up, I actually really loved it. And like I knew that one day I wouldn't live there for forever, but like my childhood and like my middle school and high school years like were like, I think back and I think of happy times.
Okay, good.
Although like also in high school though, when I started to realize more about my sexuality and who I am and who I want to be, those were some difficult years for sure of like trying to figure out who Davis is. But also I think I just had this mindset of like, I know this isn't going to last for forever. I'm getting out of here. So I'm just going to like live my life in the closet, whatever. And then once I leave high school, I'll come out, I'll move to New York, I'll move to LA and do my own thing. So I was very like content with the fact that I'm going to get out of here and this is not going to last for forever.
So you didn't come out?
I did not.
Until like after high school?
I came out the day that school got canceled because of COVID. I was a senior in high school. They announced in like April 14th or something, 2020, they were like, you're not going in for senior year. School is done forever. Like you're never going to go back to high school. And that day I came out, I was like, bye. I never have to see any of you again.
Why did you wait?
I waited because I think I was just, if I were to have come out in high school, everyone always knew that I was gay because I never hid who I was.
Yeah.
And so I was always flamboyant. Like I did the announcements every morning. I was like, kind of just a very flamboyant person, and I knew that about myself, and I knew that people knew, but I didn't want to be like tokened as like the gay boy at my school, because I would have been the only gay person, the only out person, because this is Texas.
You definitely weren't the only gay person.
Oh, honey. Honey, I already know that. I definitely was not. Yeah, because I had, we had experiences, but
yes.
Yeah, so I didn't want to be like tokened as that, and so I just wanted to wait, but also I was just really scared. And I felt like the fact that I didn't have to go back to school anymore, I was just like, okay, this is the time.
Yeah, that makes me so sad to hear that, like, that you were scared. Because I feel like we have progressed so much, but then there's still that fear of, like, what people are going to think and people not being accepting. It's really sad. to hear from me. It makes my heart hurt. Aww. But what about your family? Did you feel, were you scared to tell your family? Did you think they would accept you?
I always knew, like I said before, with my friends and everyone kind of just knew. I could just get the energy that people knew because no one would ask.
They wouldn't ask.
No one would touch on like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? Like whatever, like dating and all that kind of stuff was off limits in terms of like conversations with me. So that was, and so when I was telling my family, I knew that they would be supportive. I knew that they would understand. Of course, there was like, you know, long talks and like, some people were shocked, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. I didn't surprise, but everyone has been so supportive, so nice, and I could not have asked. I'm very lucky. I'm very much in a minority in that situation, so I'm very blessed that my family has been so supportive. It was great.
What did it feel like? Like, did you feel a weight lifted off of you just being able to, like, say it out loud? Or, like you said, you kind of knew everybody probably thought maybe you were gay, and so it was just like, okay, I just need to like say it so that now everybody can talk about it. So how did that actually like feel inside?
In the moment when I first initially like said it and I was telling everyone, in that whole week of like the announcement, I guess, I hated the attention. And everyone's like, oh my God, you must feel amazing. I'm like, really? I actually don't. Like, I just feel like everyone's looking at me. Everyone's like, I'm like the talk of the town because I literally cannot think of anyone else that has like openly come out in our like area, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't think of anybody. So I was like one of the first few. So it was very like shocking to a lot of people. Because we're from like a little small area,
okay,
in Houston.
Small town.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I'm from Houston, but like a small area in Houston. That's very much like a bubble. I don't even know where I was going. Okay. Yeah. So then I was like feeling very like overwhelmed. I didn't love the attention on me. But like as time progressed, I mean, it has been the biggest weight lifted off my shoulders. I have come fully into myself and like I don't feel like I'm hiding anything. And it's very interesting. I've noticed so much how, like, my interests have, like, shifted in a way because whenever I was in the closet, I would, like, close the door in my bedroom and, like, listen to Ariana Grande, like, privately. And no one else could know that I listened to Ariana Grande. I would, like, hide that because I didn't want anyone
mother.
To know. Mother. Oh, there you go.
She's mother.
There you go. Exactly.
Yes.
Or I would, like, hide. Like, I would, like, secretly watch, like, RuPaul's Drag Race or whatever. But now I'm just,
so
like,
good.
So good. And so now I'm kind of, like, because I am openly gay and proud, I can like watch that in public. I don't care. And like Ariana Grande is like streaming, you know, I'll play on the speakers through the rooftops.
Yes.
You know? So it's different.
Did you feel like you had like a happy childhood now that you're fully feel like you can be yourself? Do you look back and you're like, "Oh, this is how like happy and joy actually feels." Like, does that make sense? Because it's like you weren't able to be fully yourself. Still doesn't mean like you still, I hope, experience joy, but have you seen a difference since coming out?
I've definitely seen a difference, but I like I said before, like I very much had a, like I very much am very fond of my childhood and I had a, like a great childhood. And also what I really think is different from my situation is I never really tried to not be gay. I just never talked about it.
Okay.
So I was always like I would always dance and perform for my parents, but like it was just never a topic.
Talk
of being
the sexuality.
The sexuality of part of it. It was like, oh no, he's just like a very flamboyant person. Like,
so I find this so interesting because I went to acting class like 3 times, but my coach had a son who like, they never talked about sexuality, but he was just so himself and he wanted the pink shoes and he liked to dance and he did that. And it, like you said, you were like always like that from a young age. Like that can't be, that's just who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people who are still like, I don't know, that just don't quite understand and haven't just like expanded their mind and don't understand, like not everybody feels the same way and that we're all different and unique. I think need to hear that like you have always been this way. Mm-hmm. And now you get to like live and be free and open. So I think it's really cool that you've been able to have that experience. And it makes me sad that some people still have not yet got to experience that or didn't fully feel in their life from their family that they could step into their actual passions.
Right.
I stalked your TikTok
And I thought this was so funny that you did this old TikTok about your senior superlatives and how you got most likely to be an influencer, should have a reality TV show, most fashionable. And like, you're kind of just like living and thriving and like doing all those things in some way. They were right. How funny is that?
Isn't that wild? Yeah, I got 4 senior superlatives, which made
four. No big
Isn't
deal.
That wild? And they've all kind of come true. I mean, it was like it's manifesting at its finest. But yeah, I got most likely to be a reality TV star. I'm not on reality TV, but like you
it's
know, similar
yeah.
path.
Yes.
It's media. I do media. And then I got most likely to be an influencer. Here we are. And then most fashionable. I love fashion.
Slay.
Thank you. And then I got biggest Starbucks addict.
Is that true?
So true. And I was the kid still.
There's a plethora of different coffee shops and you're still.
And people always say that, why don't you go anywhere else? Especially because I live in New York. Mm-hmm. People are like, why don't you go to anywhere else? And I do go, of course. I go to other coffee shops, but I don't even go to Starbucks for the coffee. I go for that feeling.
What's the feeling at Starbucks?
It's just like, you know, I go in there and it just reminds me of like all these moments of my life because I've been going there since I was a little kid. Like I just like, and I had a drive through that was right next to me growing up. And when I first got my license, I would go there every single day. And then they ended up giving me free Starbucks every time I would go because I went that frequently.
Do you still get free Starbucks? We should be working on that.
I came back when I came back to Texas after being in New York for a long time. I came back and they're like, we missed you. No free Starbucks though.
What?
I know. I wish.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. Where are my engaged girls? Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get designs, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy. And hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off. I wanted to ask you why you decided New York. When did you move? Why did you want to be in New York City?
So when I was in high school, I always knew I wanted to either go to... In high school, I was like, I'm going to LA.
Yeah.
That is my destiny. That is what I'm doing. So I toured like all the colleges here in LA, like USC, UCLA, LMU, and I was like dead set on it. And then my junior year of high school, one of my friends was doing a summer camp at Parsons in New York. And she was like, come with, like, it'll be so fun. You get like college credit. And I'm like, okay, like, I do not want to go to, like, I don't want to live in New York, but like, I'll go for 2 weeks to do summer school there or whatever. And so I went, I fell in love. I was like, I'm going to Parsons. I'm not going to LA anymore. And so
wait, what won you over?
What?
From LA? Because I lived here. I love LA. I just wanted to be closer to home, and Nashville's awesome. But I was always that. I was like, LA, never could see myself living in New York. But I've never lived there. So like, what was it like?
I think it's just that like fast paced energy. It just is so motivating.
Everybody's on matcha. Everyone's on coffee.
Oh my God. Like, you're crazy if you don't drink coffee, and you have to, like, to keep up,
to.
Also like the energy itself is just like it will keep you caffeinated in general, like, because there's so much going on, you have to be aware of everything. So I think that won me over. And also just everyone is so unique and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been incredibly independent, and I think I really loved that about New York, because it's kind of like in a sad but beautiful way, it's very much every man for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have always been that way. Like, I've always like tried to like live my life for me, and like been, you know, I've had some things where I've had to be independent for myself. And so I think the fact that like New York, I saw that about everybody, and I was like, this is where I need to be.
When you moved to New York, is that when you were a DoorDash driver, or had that already started? Because I've talked about how I kind of want to just do DoorDash for fun, because I think it would be fun, but you tell me, you've had the experience.
I miss being a DoorDash driver so much.
I think it would be so fun.
It was real life Pokemon Go. Like, it was so much fun. I did this during COVID. So, like, right as school got canceled for COVID, this was March, and I wasn't moving to New York until August. So, and I didn't have school. High school was canceled. I had nothing to do. And
did you ever think, oh, I'm not going to be able to move to New York in August?
That was scary. Yeah. We were like, we had no idea what was happening. So I downloaded TikTok and started making videos, and I was a DoorDash driver.
That all happened at the same time.
All at the same time. Yeah.
So tell me, like, what was a day in the life of Davis during COVID, being having two jobs, DoorDash, and then like making this, I mean, huge TikTok following? Or you started off with your own before,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, yes.
What's popping, which we'll get to.
So yeah, I always say, like, I am so grateful for that time that I got, because I know COVID was such a horrible time for everyone, but it was really the catapult to my career, because I had nothing to do. Like I said, it was like the perfect timing.
Yeah.
It was like just meant to be. So everyone was like, TikTok at the time was really booming. Everyone was become overnight sensations, and I was like, I really want to do this, because I had always wanted to be a YouTuber. Like, that was my dream.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay, if TikTok is a new thing, let's do it. So I would like wake up every morning, and I would write out my agenda. I was posting 5 5 videos a day.
Were you like searching what the trend is? Okay, we're going to have to do these. Mm-hmm. What times? Like you knew all that.
Everything. I was invested. And my friend Allie, who's right over there, she was my sidekick for every single day. We would like see each other because we were neighbors.
Was she like your manager?
She was kind of like my manager. Like she was like, you got to make sure you like post today. Like she was really on me.
I love that.
And
go Allie.
I was like doing it every single day. I started it in March. And then I think I got 10K in August, like right when I moved to New York. Like I was, and it was just a very much like, I was just trying everything.
Did you ever think like, okay, I cannot do this. Like, this is just exhausting. Because I feel like making TikToks is exhausting sometimes. But I feel like I had a little bit more freedom when I first started. And then I stopped. I like was on and then I just stopped doing it. Now I'm like trying to get back into it. But it then you start getting people watching it and you're like, oh, okay, now I have to like really take this seriously. But at first it was just fun for me. Mm-hmm. But it seems like you had a plan from the beginning.
I did have a plan from the beginning. Yeah, yeah. It was never really fun and games, Hannah. No, I was like, no, I want to make this a career. I don't know. I was just like, I just saw something and I really enjoy making videos. I've always like been like an on internet person.
Okay.
So I was like, this is just what I want to do. And I remember my first viral video ever. I didn't have any followers, but my video went viral.
Okay.
And I like went and I showed my dad. Dad, I went viral. I have 100,000 views. And he goes, oh my God, that's awesome. When do you start making money? That's the first thing he said to me. And I was like, I don't think you can start making money until you have like 10,000 followers, but that'll never happen. I remember that quote so well. And I knew in my head that it was going to happen, but I was like being like insecure, like that's never going to happen to me. And then it did.
Obviously you felt like a little different because you didn't know anybody that was like you, mm-hmm. but did you just feel like special? Like you were destined for something different than what everybody else was doing around you.
I knew that I wanted to be on camera and like perform and like entertain. I've always loved to make people laugh. That is like what I've done since I was very little. And so I always knew that in some capacity, like that was something that I was going to do. And one of the ways that I was kind of covering up, because I was obviously, whenever you, it's kind of embarrassing to be like, oh yeah, I want to be famous or I want to be an actor. Or, I want to do this.
So many people don't make it and you don't want to fail.
And if you say that, people are like, yeah, right. Like that's ever going to happen. So my way of like,
watch
me under my breath. But my way of like getting into all of this was by doing photography. I was a photographer.
Oh.
I was like the photography editor of my yearbook. And I went to school at Parsons for photography. And I was like, I want to be a photographer. But deep down, I wanted to be the one having photos taken of me.
No, I'm just learning my angles and my lighting right now.
I learned all about lighting.
You're like, no, I'm just making sure I can have like the best video quality for me to do my thing. Yeah. That was smart.
Yeah, I always kind of knew. I was like, I'm going to do photography, but that's not going to be my end goal. Like, I want to do something more like entertainment. But like, this is my stepping stone.
Do you still like to take photos of, I mean, of yourself, duh, but like of other things.
I do. I really enjoy taking photos and it's like my Instagram stories, like the photos are great, you know, because I know my angles.
You know,
I went to college for this stuff, you know.
I think that really helps. And do you feel like that helps? Do you edit all your videos?
Yes.
Yes. Because for me, it takes me like 8 hours to freaking edit anything. But when you like went to school for that. Mm-hmm. You had it all mapped out. You're a mastermind. We can talk about Taylor Swift later. You seem very natural in front of a camera. Have you always been that way?
No.
No. I don't believe you.
I mean, I've been on camera now for, it's 2023, so mm-hmm. 3 years. I'm like, if I look back at the videos of myself, it's like honestly the cringiest. I mean, anyway, everyone would say that.
Oh my gosh.
The cringiest thing ever.
2020 videos on TikTok. I mean, that's how we got here. I mean, for me, it was just like something I did for fun. I need those to burn.
It's like when humans got phones for the first time. It's like, they don't even know what to do. Like when video was created, like we were like
just
animals.
Anything weird.
Like, not okay. Yeah. But now I not only just my on-camera presence and who I am on camera, but also who I am as a person in my real life because I've been talking on camera so much and like, stating my opinions and like finding my sense of humor, it's helped me gain so much confidence in my real life too by being on camera, because I have learned so much about myself, what I like, what I don't like. Because I have, you know, like when this job, you kind of have to have an opinion on everything,
yeah.
or like give hot takes or whatever, and like be funny, have a sense of humor. And so I've really learned a lot about myself through all of this. And so that's what I'm most grateful for. I'm like, I feel like, even just recently, I'm like, I am fully myself and like being authentic, and I'm like really confident, like being who I am and like trusting my gut and stuff.
How old are you?
21.
Wow. I feel like I'm kind of in that season of life now, and I'm 28. Opinions for me are hard because I also am a Libra. I don't know. What are you?
No wonder I like you. I'm an Aries. We are like 98% compatibility.
My best friend's an Aries.
That makes sense.
Yes.
You're a Libra. All my best friends are Libras. It's crazy.
We need y'all, and y'all need us.
Yes.
You know?
Because Aries talk about themselves, and you guys listen.
We do, and I...
That's literally what it is. That's, you know,
is that what it is?
Yeah, that's like the funny like quote about it.
Have you always been one of those people that felt really comfortable talking with strangers?
Yes and no, because also I wasn't as confident as I am now, so I wouldn't feel comfortable talking to a bunch of people. And actually, for my show, What's Poppin', I interview strangers in Washington Square Park, and I run around mm-hmm. and talk to whoever is just walking and surprise them and say, like, probably talk about fashion, relationships, everything. And I actually got hired for that show. And when I was in the meeting, they were like, are you comfortable talking to strangers? And I'm like, oh, yeah, lying. I was like, I just really want this job. And then I got the job, and I was like, first day working, I was like, I was so scared to go up to people. But it took practice.
Well, now you do not look scared at all.
I'm not.
I'll go up to anyone, ask them something really off the wall, but that's what makes it fun. Mm-hmm. So how did you get this job? Because I thought maybe you started it yourself, but no, this is through some type of media production.
It's
okay.
Through this company called Fallen Media. And basically, okay. When I moved to New York, I moved here in August of 2020 for my freshman year of college. I had just started TikTok, and I had just went viral on my personal TikTok page, Davis Burleson. Because of that, Fallen Media reached out. They were like, we think you're funny. We want to have you in for a meeting. And I had no idea what it was. And I was just like, okay.
Had you ever heard of them?
Never heard of them.
Okay.
But I was like, this is cool.
This is my shot.
This is New York. Yeah. This is like, I got scouted. Like, this is like how it happens. So I go in for the meeting. I wear these like khaki pants, a barber jacket. I'm on the phone with my dad before. He's like calming me down. He's like, just be yourself. That's why you're here. I'm like, that's good advice.
That's right.
You always got to take advice from your parents. But we went into the meeting. They kind of pitched the idea of the show to me. They were like, we want to do this kind of like game show thing. And this is in the middle of COVID. And so we were all wearing masks. They're like, we want to do this game show thing like on the streets of New York. And we want you to host it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that sounds fun. And they were like, are you comfortable talking to strangers? And I was like, absolutely. And I was so lying. And then that meeting was in November. We started in February. We were starting the show from zero followers. And I was really doing it because I was a broke college student. I had no money, like nothing. And so.
What were you doing? Did you have a job at that point?
No.
You're a freshman.
I was doing like TikTok, trying to make, my plan was like TikTok. That was the plan. So this was like my breaking point. But I really didn't see it going anywhere, my What's Poppin' show, because I had no idea what to expect. And I honestly didn't think I had faith in myself that I could mm-hmm. do it. And so I started the show. I was giving it my all, giving it my best. And then within a month, I had 100,000 followers. And then within 3 months, I had 1 million. And it surpassed my own personal page. And I was like,
wait,
oh my God.
Within 3 months, you had 1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Was there like a certain video that went viral that like really made it? Or was there like, I'm sure there's multiple, I'm sure.
It was like, there was one that got, that I asked this girl, I couldn't even tell you what I asked. I was like, were you bullied in high school or something? Were you cool in high school? I asked her mm-hmm. and she was like, oh, I was so bullied, something, something, something. And it was just like the video wasn't even that funny. It was just kind of like an authentic and true mm-hmm. conversation between two people. And it got 26 million views. I'll never forget that number because I was like, oh my God. And so that is kind of what
set
it off. And then from there, it kind of just continued to grow. And it was just a whole surprise and something that really changed the trajectory of my whole entire life.
It has changed your life. Mm-hmm. It is so cool to hear how like creators like you, like it's just, you just
persists, and then there's going to be something that pops off if you're being your authentic self, mm-hmm. have a good idea. And do you feel like having the support of the media company versus, like, do you feel like that was really big for you, or did that almost give you more like insecurity, doubt? Because, like, oh my gosh, all these people are like counting on me to do this.
I think because I had all these people counting on me, that it added some form of pressure.
Yeah.
I had to do well, and I had to show up for work. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to do my job. And so that having that was I think what drove me and wanted me to continue like working on this craft of like interviewing people. What is the proper way? Because if you look back at my initial interviews, I have a completely different style of the way that I talk to people now, because I've learned all these skills of like, what is the best way to talk to a stranger on the street? How do you do that? You know?
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot about that.
Because I'm sure you got a lot of rejection from people not wanting to talk to a stranger.
Every single person rejected me. Every single person.
Really?
Yeah. Like, literally, I was out there.
I wouldn't have.
And I started in February. thank you.
No, because I actually really like talking to strangers.
Hello. Hi.
I'm the person that, like, when you're on the plane, do you talk to the person beside you?
No.
I do. But let me tell you, it's so embarrassing, but I have made so many connections. You're probably flying first class now, are you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes you just got to get like on a flight.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, talk to the people beside you. It doesn't have to be, don't be the person that's talking to them like after takeoff. You're like, I'm talking like while we're still taxied, you get to know them. Then nobody wants to talk to you. I'm asleep. But that is where you can meet so many cool people and make connections. So I am a person that talks to people on planes, but only for a little bit. So I would think you would be.
I am taking that advice.
I love that. I mean, I've met two people the last two times that like are probably going to be really instrumental in like helping me move forward with some of the things that I want to do.
That is incredible.
You've got to do it.
Great advice.
Yes. So you do get rejected though.
Not as much now.
Now, so what have you learned? Like, is there like any tip you can give somebody when wanting to start up a conversation with a stranger?
Oh, great. If you want to start a conversation with a stranger, I would say, well, it's different for my show because I'm always trying to get like a hook in the beginning. Yeah. So I'm always asking like an out of pocket, like a question.
But I think there is a way that you're doing it though, yes, that makes people at least answer.
So one thing that I do is I do this small run thing, and that's, yes, like my followers always are talking about my little I don't even know what it's called, my little like run
prance.
My little prance. I run like a little deer.
Yeah.
And I do that on purpose just to kind of get them prepared for me to enter their space, because I'm entering their personal space and they have no idea who I am, what I'm doing. And so I kind of do this little slow run up to them.
That was a question, because I'm like, are you like making eye contact? Like, I'm coming up to you. Are you like full on surprising these people?
Every person that I interview is a complete surprise. I will not do it if it's fake. The only time that it's fake sometimes is if I do like an advertisement sometimes, yeah, because it's very specific and, yes, stuff. But everything else, like organic content, so 100% real.
So the prance is
the prance is like the best way to do it. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna just start prancing up to people and be like, hey, will you hire me?
Prance at Terminal A. You got to go to the airport and start prancing to everyone. That's the way to do it. But my advice for somebody that is just wanting to spark up a conversation with anyone, this would even do with flirting, mm-hmm, if you're like not on camera, you know, just like in general lifestyle stuff, would be to compliment first. Always a compliment.
Okay.
And then have something like prepared for yourself. So I always call this the bit. Anywhere that I go, any event, any time I'm getting lunch with a friend, I always have something in my mind that I want to like talk about.
Okay.
And it's not really like something I like really prepare, but I kind of just like know going in, like, this is like what, yeah, I want to say, or this is kind of be my story to tell. So when you like haven't seen a friend in a very long time and they're like, oh my God, how are you? Instead of saying, you can go three ways of saying, answering, how are you? You can say, I'm good. How are you? So boring, so bland. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get you any farther in a conversation. The second is to give, oh, yeah, my summer has been good. I was traveling here, here, here. I did this. I did that. I did that. And then the third would be to narrow in on like one single thing that's like not even that important, but it's just kind of like funny. And it just sparks up a conversation. Oh, I'm good. Oh, my God. On the way here, like this guy was next to me on the subway and he was just like talking, talking, talking. And then he had whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you tell his whole story. And that's kind of just how I am. That's a good answer to that.
Oh, I love that. I feel like for me, I'm thinking, I mean, I think I've used all those responses. Mm-hmm. When I say, I'm good, how are you? That means I don't want to talk to you.
Totally.
Or I don't want to get into it. Mm-hmm. Or you say that to a friend and then if somebody said that to me and I know them, I'm like, okay, actually what happened? Because you can hear it in the how are you? I'm good. I mean, I'm good. How are you? You're like, what happened? But the story, I think, when I'm coming in hot to somebody I know, or I'm coming home like to my boyfriend, he's like, how's your day? I'm like, oh, let me tell you about this story. And it does. It's also, I think I like being dramatic. And
honey, I'm the queen of drama. Like, I am the most dramatic person you'll ever meet. I will exaggerate my stories, and my whole family does that too. We all are so exaggerated, and we love to call each other out because we'll all be,
oh, yeah.
Well, like, my brother will be telling a story from like a family vacation. I'll be like, that was a lie. And he's like, stop. It's for the story. It makes it funny. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. I would do the same.
Who comes up with the questions and or like, I don't want to, yeah, your bits. It's a bit.
Yeah, the bits, my show. I actually have an amazing, a group of people that help me with my questions for the show. But what's very interesting is I obviously am very picky with what I ask. Most of the time I'll come prepared with my own too. This is no shade to them. And we've had this conversation. We always are like, and our meeting, we'll have like creative meetings and mm-hmm. stuff where we'll discuss kind of what we'll do like once a month, and I'll kind of talk to them about what I'm interested in, like what I want to be talking about on mm-hmm. the show and whatever. But I've learned with like interviewing, when I have other people write my questions, it can be difficult because it's like, here's a really small example, but like for my show, like one of the questions that somebody wrote the other day was like, what game did you love on the Nintendo Switch growing up? And I like read that question and was like, I never played that mm-hmm. growing up. So I can't really give anything to this conversation when I do ask that. So
yes.
It's like, there's all this, whenever you're interviewing, it's like, what's your initial question? And then what's your follow-up? Like, that's always like a very important mm-hmm. thing when I'm doing my interviews. It's like, I'm going to ask this, but then once they respond, what is going to be my follow-up to that?
Yes.
I'm always prepared on a follow-up every time I ask a question.
I was actually, I interviewed Kelty Knight, who has been on TV for forever. And
yeah,
like,
she's
has
great.
Interviewed everyone. Uh-huh. And I was like, what is some advice that you have for me? Like, doing this podcast, and she's like, well, you're doing it, but it's very important whenever you ask a question to have some type of like feedback to relate. That is really important when giving an interview. And sometimes for me, I'm like, oh, but then I'm making it about myself. And it's like, no, that's showing a conversation.
It's showing a conversation.
Yeah.
Totally. I've always been very scared of like, don't talk about yourself too much because yeah. you're interviewing somebody else. But when you do bring up yourself, it makes it more of a conversation, and it makes the other person want to give more.
Yeah. Like,
because you're both being vulnerable.
I saw you also have done like these backstage interviews at some of like the biggest music awards, Grammy Awards and the American Music Awards. And I saw this TikTok where you went as like, I don't know how old you were, but you just look like a little boy. And then now, right?
Yeah, there
was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
went like as like a audience. Mm-hmm.
I went to the American Music Awards when I was in 7th grade.
Were you just like a big music fan or like pop culture fan?
I've always been so into pop culture. Okay. So my dad was so, we were, it was such a funny story. And long story short, we were in LA for a different reason.
Okay.
And I was like, Dad, the American Music Awards are tonight. Like, can we go? Can we go? And he's like, yeah, let's go. And it was like, our whole family was there, and we like looked at the tickets and they were like so expensive. And
yeah.
he was like, well, he's like, I'll buy a ticket for you if you want to go alone. And I was like, I'll go. So I went to the American Music Awards by myself in 7th grade.
See, that's why when you're like, I'm not comfortable with strangers, like, most people would not do that. You do have, like, this level of, I guess, confidence or just, maybe it was just you were always like, I'm going to, like, you were just always yourself.
Yeah.
But that, I don't think I could have gone by myself to the American Music Awards.
I always have a fun time with myself. Like, I am my own best friend, like, literally.
Like I'm pretty great.
No, not in that way, but I just, like, I can have a good time. I can have fun anywhere. Like,
no, I love that.
So, the American Music Awards was really, really a great time. And then when I got invited to go last year, it was just such a full circle moment and so, so, so cool. And then the Grammys, that was awesome. I did the backstage like pre-show and I did like a tour of everything. That was so sick.
I think I also like had where I was like just some girl from Alabama, and then like a year later like got to do all these crazy things. Do you sometimes like, is this my real life? Like, do you have those moments of like, I cannot believe this is happening? But in the back of your mind, you're like, I always knew this is kind of going to happen, but like, it's happening and it happens so fast. And how do you stay like grounded with that?
That's definitely something that I'm, how do I stay grounded? That's always something that I'm like always trying to battle and like trying to work. I'm always like working on myself and always trying to better myself. And so I'm always like, I cannot believe that I got here. This is crazy. But also, like you said, I'm like, I knew. Like, I wanted to do something along these lines. Did I expect it to be this journey? Not at all. Did I expect it to be when I was like 21? No, not at all. So it's been definitely interesting navigating it all. And I'm like, I've been working on myself and trying to keep myself grounded. So one thing that I do is I make sure to go home all the time and see my family. I go home probably once every 2 months and see them.
Good, yeah.
And so that very much grounds me. And always I'm off my phone. Like when I'm not working, like I'm always just like trying to do things that are good for me. And like I'm trying to figure out who's Davis on camera, who's Davis off camera. And like, how do those two people merge together? Because I'm very much myself on camera. And but I'm more energetic on camera.
Yes.
But when I'm not on camera, I'm much more chill. So it's like, I've talked with this in therapy. I'm like, who am I like off and on camera? Because people say I'm the same. People say I'm different. Like, what is it? And she was like saying, she's like, let's think of it this way. Like, when you're not on camera, you're Davis. When you're on camera, you're Davis with an exclamation point.
Yes.
I'm like, that is literally so true. Because I when you're on camera, of course, you're going to perform and, you know, you want to hit a one-liner and be kind of funny. When you're off, you know, you're more chill. So I'm always like, I'm glad that I learned that when I did, because I know like how to handle this whole job and career.
Yeah. No, I think people can sniff out authenticity, but I also understand that struggle of like, oh, sometimes like I don't, when I'm off camera, like I just want to sit in my room and like watch a movie, and I'm not like watching the movie and also like doing the tap dance the whole time. I mean, sometimes if it is like Hairspray or Cats or something, yeah, maybe.
And if there's a glass of wine involved.
Like. Yes. But I had that struggle too. But I love how your therapist said it's like you're totally yourself, because I can feel that just like being here. That is why you have been successful.
Thank
is
you.
Because of your authenticity. But it is okay to be able to like be calm and like go. It like internally take a deep breath, but that's not what people like are interested in seeing always. Mm-hmm. But both are you.
Both are me. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I love to recharge.
Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves, but sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure, and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at travelsouthdakota.com. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin's cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? You heard that right. Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. Each Dunkin' cold K-Cup pod is packed with the smooth, bold Dunkin' flavor you crave. Pick up a pack of Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods and enjoy a Dunkin' cold coffee at home whenever you crave it. Just brew over ice and sip in seconds, because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be. I wanted to do an Ask Davis What's Poppin'. So I just want to ask you a few questions.
Yes, let's do it.
We already talked about hot take, but what is your hot take?
Oh, hot take. All condiments suck.
What?
Yeah.
No. You don't like sauce?
Ketchup, mustard, barbecue sauce, relish, mayonnaise.
I'm freaking out.
The list goes on and on. I hate it all. That's my hot take.
What? Oh my gosh.
French fries taste so much better with just like the potato and the salt, like I'm telling you.
I am not okay with that. I totally disagree, but you live your life.
Thank you. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy with my choices.
And also like less calories and you can like eat way more potatoes.
There we go.
Good for you. I am such a sauce girl. Like the other day we made these like taco hamburger things and I got to like create the sauce as like a Big Mac sauce.
And you're like mixing the sauce.
All the things. So like it would have been your worst nightmare.
Yeah, no, I actually, it's a kind of a little bit of a phobia thing. I don't even know what it is. Like my friends will be eating ketchup next to me. I'm like, don't get it on my fries. Like, get away from it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I understand mayonnaise, but never heard ketchup, mustard. What if you had Fuck, Marry, Kill condiments edition?
Fuck, Marry, Kill condiments. Oh my God. Okay. Kill ketchup. It's just never going to happen with me. Kill. Mary is guacamole a sauce? Would you?
We'll take it.
Mary guacamole. That's the only like dip sauce thing that I'm obsessed with. I have avocado on everything.
Okay,
I love it. That's a new discovery. That's about like we're about 2 years into the avocado phase, and I love it.
can I tell you that I thought that avocados were a new. Like a new discovery because I'm from Alabama.
This new thing, it's avocados like, are actually, if avocados were to have a birthplace, they probably do, it would be LA.
For sure. But I mean, it was like college, maybe high school. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this stuff? I never had an avocado before. It's really, I mean, that is Alabama for you. So I get, okay, Mary guacamole.
Fuck.
Yes.
Fuck is like a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah.
What are some sauces? Like, fuck. I could do, maybe I could.
Like an aioli's like mayo.
I would fuck aioli.
Okay.
Because I will like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, if I'm ordering fries and a little aioli's on the side, I'll do one dip of the fry in the aioli. Just to try it. And I'm like, it doesn't taste that bad, but I just rather not.
Okay.
So that's kind of what a fuck is. It's a one night stand. You know, I do it one time, I'm done. Bye, see ya. Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, that's great. Fuck, Mary, Kill, Taylor Swift, Eras.
Okay, Kill, Evermore.
I honestly
the girls come after me for that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, I like Folklore. Evermore is hard.
Yeah, I love Folklore. Mary, 1989. Call me a fake Swifty, call me basic. I don't care. It's a great album. I love every single song and I will listen to it over and over and over again. And then Fuck, just because it's kind of like bad girl era reputation. And I just feel like so like mysterious and cool and edgy when I listen to that album.
I love those answers. I don't know what I think Mary, I love Midnights. I'm loving it. I feel like it's so smart, but it also has those like 1989 vibes to it, which was like my favorite. It's good. Folklore is also, I can understand Kill Evermore. I love her. I love everything. But if I had to pick one.
Like, I love her. All of them.
Like Cardigan, Willow, those are great. But like if I had to like take one out, it'd be that one. Mary, Midnights. And then when you said, like, fuck Reputation, I'm like, I could kind of get down with that. Or 1989, because they're both great.
Yeah.
I got it. I'm not doing this What's Popping fast enough. Okay. How much does your outfit cost? I love when you ask
that. Oh, my God. How much does your outfit cost from head to toe? Let's talk about it. Okay. The shoes are Doc Martin loafers. They're about $145. Love. The socks are Under Armour, literally $20. Which is kind of expensive for socks. They're packed. They come in
good,
a pack.
Yeah, good socks.
I lost all my luggage in Barcelona this summer. And so the pants that I'm wearing are the ones that I bought on my last resort at a little vintage shop because I had nothing else to wear. And I love them.
They're pink.
They're pink,
right?
They're pink basketball shorts. I think they're so cute. And then this shirt was, I think, like $50.
Are you a thrifter?
I used to be a huge thrifter. I'm really into vintage now. I really love curated vintage and like finding things that like no one else has.
I'm the same way. Have you been to Paris?
Yes.
Okay. There's this one place in Paris that I'm like, I spend all my money at this place because I know there's just like good stuff there. And you feel cool.
Oh, so cool. Where'd you get that? Oh, vintage. You can't have it.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm unique. You'll never have this.
When I was actually in Paris in February, I got these 2005 Prada swim shorts. Cool. And I'm like obsessed with like saying that they're from 2005. And so like I was wearing them the other day at the beach, and this one of my friends was like, "Oh my god, where did you get those Prada swimsuits?" I'm like, "Oh, what are those swimsuits? Where's that swimsuit from?" I'm like, "Oh, it's Prada 2005." And she was like, "Okay, I didn't need to know the year." I'm like, "But I just wanted to say I'm sorry."
I love that. What is your fashion ick?
Fashion ick. So many. Oh my god.
If I'm wearing it, don't say that.
No. Fashion ick, honestly, right now, I'm like looking around. I don't want to be mean. I'm really not into bucket hats really right now.
Were you ever into bucket hats?
Never. I actually was. Yes, I was like 3 years ago into it.
Okay.
Also another one like checkered print, unless it's on a shoe. Like
not
a
like
band.
a gingham?
Not a gingham. You know, like checker.
Real black, checker.
Checker. Not really into that. Like skinny jeans. Hate. Yeah. I'm really not into like matching sweatsuits in public anymore.
I'm kind of over that too.
Like, I would say.
We did it.
Dress
so much.
I think dress a little cuter for the airport, but still comfortable, but like a little cute.
I agree. I always wear jeans and like a comfy shirt, but I like to make
jeans.
Sure.
You're pushing it with the jeans, girl. Jeans.
But they're like the ones that are like four sizes too big that are like comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not wearing like anything that's uncomfortable. But yeah, I've struck up some conversations with strangers and they probably were looking what I was wearing. And I was wearing jeans and they were like, "Oh, she means business.
This girl means business. She's not wearing a matching
She is asleep with a stuffed animal and she has a sleeping mask on. Her mouth is just like completely open and she is, is she dead? I don't know, but she's wearing jeans. So
she looks
we're going to help
fabulous.
Her out. I like fall asleep immediately on the plane. Okay. What is one thing that you could do today that will make for a better tomorrow?
Oh my God, I love that. Okay. What can I do today to make for a better tomorrow? I think read my book tonight before bed for at least like 10, 15 minutes. I love to read. Oh my God. But this summer, I have not been reading at all. And I have this book I've been reading forever. I want to finish it.
What's the book?
It's called Red, White, and Royal Blue. The first son of the United States, his mom is the president, and the Prince of England, they fall in love. It's a gay love story.
I'm a big reader too, so I love to hear what people are reading. Fiction?
I like everything. I love a memoir.
Yeah. I think reading fiction before you go to bed instead of like a self-help something is really smart because it just kind of like
it's the last thing you think about when you put your head on the
pillow. I mean maybe not like a murder mystery, but I do that sometimes. But it just like gets you, I think it can be really easy to be on your phone, to be thinking about work constantly, so to just like take yourself to like a different world, different dimension.
It is the best.
I do think that that can help for a better tomorrow. So I love your answer.
Best
I love
feeling.
That you're reading.
Yes, I'm a part of the reading community.
I love that. Me too. I read all types of things too, but I think I am partial to fiction.
Nice.
Because my mind. Thank you so much, Davis, for coming on today. It means so much to me. I'm so excited for all the things that you're doing. For everyone who maybe is on the cusp of being lame, make sure you have TikTok and you start following what's popping so that you can be unlame. Seriously.
That's so nice. Thank you for having me, Hannah. This was so fun.
I really appreciate you. You're such a star and you have the best hair.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our producer is Andrew Stalmer. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.